Hello everyone, I'm Chaplain John McTernan, and this is our Tuesday night Bible teaching night, and we're in the book of Zechariah, the prophetic book of Zechariah, chapter 13, and we're not going to make too much progress tonight, because I went, well, I'm going back over what I did already, and I'm adding to it, and putting it in a better order and all, and then we're going to look at verse 2, Zechariah 13, verse 2. I'll have done some more for tomorrow, but it'll be good tonight. You'll be blessed. You'll be blessed. Oh, and I did not start. I have neglected the Uber conference room, also known as Dialpad, and it's Sister Kathy's fault.
I'm fully prepared to receive the blame.
You didn't contact me and let me know that I didn't open up the room.
I did too, in fact, you didn't read it.
How can I read it?
But you always read it. Crank up Dialpad, sis.
Well, anyways, you're not in trouble. I'm in trouble. But
all right.
Well, and Sister Sharon's here. So how did this morning go?
We had a really good prayer time, didn't we, Kathy?
Yes.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. So All right. Well, that's what Tuesday mornings are for.
Yep. Amen.
Everybody's wondering how Keith is doing.
Oh, yeah. Well, I didn't know what it was. We didn't know what was wrong, but I mean, it was really bad, Sister Kathy. It was his face. What was the left side of his face in particular was swollen. His eye was swollen shut. His eyebrow above his eye was like way out, sticking out his forehead. It looked like he had been in a big fight. That's really what it looked like. But then this rash broke out and it was raw. It was, I mean, really raw. So for whatever reason, he didn't want to go, but Nancy and myself, we strong-armed him, and the first place we took him was at the hospital. They took one look at him and said he's got shingles and his eye is in danger, and we won't touch him here. Take him to the emergency room. So we did, and you know, sure enough, they took one look at him and said it was shingles. Shingles, in case you're not aware of it, is a nerve. It's like an infection in a nerve, but it can be over a widespread area. So we ended up in the, they were really concerned about his eye, so they spent a lot of time checking his eye out, and they determined that it wasn't in danger. So all in all, I guess we were in the emergency room about 4 hours. And then Nancy was real tired. And so I said, Keith, because the hospital is only 10 minutes from where we live, because he thought they were going to keep him overnight. I said, well, you call me and I'll come get you if you're not staying overnight. So he called me, and I guess it was about midnight my time that I finally got him, and then we got him the medicine today. So that's it, Sister Kathy. But I mean, he was unrecognizable with that shingles.
Yeah, there's three different kinds of shingles, and the one in the head is good grief, it's bad. Any of them, I think, are, but the head ones are terrible.
Have you seen it, Sister Kathy, like in the head?
Not in person, no. I really hadn't seen any pictures. I've heard of it, but I haven't. None of them I heard described as being looking like out of a boxing match.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly what he looked like. So,
and is he your neighbor?
Yeah. Hello?
Is he a neighbor?
No. He's a real good friend of Michael's.
And
And I've become really friendly through with him through Michael.
I see. So. Well, that's
anyways,
awfully sweet.
Wow. And he had a lot of pain in his skull, and then the pain stopped, and that's when this rash. And I know the people I've had shingles told me it's extremely painful, and it can last for a long time. His pain was for about a week, and then this rash and swelling broke out, and the pain went away. But so thank you, Sister Kathy. And how'd you do with Pastor Fred?
Well, he did good. He spoke about having the Word of God stored in your heart.
Uh-huh.
And he did. He spoke a very good long time and gave out scriptures and gave a test. And, you know, it was just very, very nice. We had a good group of people. I never could get in touch with Nana Debbie to let her know. I was able to leave a message on the chat room. And so Sharon did see that I had put that there, so it was visible.
Right.
Okay.
A lot of people were in Uber. A lot of people.
And then I talked to Van today, and he said yesterday his whole system was down because of the internet.
My goodness.
So that's
did
why
he
we.
Say anything?
What was that, Sister Kathy?
Did he give an update on Bishop Reinhardt?
Yes. He said that he's having an absolutely fantastic time, and right now he's in Dallas.
Wow.
So, yeah. Hey, but I haven't heard anything. I don't know. He told me he met so many bishops and pastors in Chicago, and he had an absolute wonderful time.
That's great.
Okay. And just say hello to Gigi and Randy. Hello. And there's Rita. Hello, Sister Rita.
Hello, Chaplain. It's good to be on tonight. And hello to everyone.
Okay.
Sorry, John, can you hear me now?
Yes, I hear you.
Good evening. We've been praying for your friend Keith.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's really quite serious. We know that.
I'm not exaggerating when I tell you what he looked like. It was bad. It looked like he was in a severe automobile accident.
Yeah.
And his face like hit the windshield or something. It was cut and swollen and all. Yeah. So.
Yeah, it's very. Okay. Shingles is really serious. People don't realize that, but it is.
I had shingles a number of years ago. I don't know, 30 years ago maybe. But my shingles was around my waist.
Yeah.
In fact, I think shingles might mean girdle. It's normally around the waist, so I was really surprised about
it
being
spreads all over.
In the face.
Yeah. That's we're going to keep praying for him because it's really we're thrilled that it's not affecting his eyesight like that because I don't want to say it anyway. We have a friend whose father died from shingles, so it's a serious. Oh yeah, and they had treated him, and he died.
Wow.
Yeah. That's why I said we have to continue to pray for him.
Okay. Amen.
All right. Amen. All right. Let's get going here. Okay. Now, I got the stone up there, but hang on. Let me, because I want to remind you, I finished more than I put more in it than last week when we looked at it. So, okay, I have a summary here. I wanted to look at the summary, and then I want to go back. All right, so here's the summary of Zechariah. Hold on, let me pray. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for everything that happened, Lord. We praise you and thank you now. We give you all the glory and the honor and the praise. Lord, I pray that the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So, Lord, we ask that the word is divided as we're looking in the prophet Zechariah in truth. It's a blessing to everyone that we'll all come to understand and bring, we'll understand your prophetic word, which is a great blessing. And whatever we do is always in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, under the blood of the everlasting covenant. Amen. Amen. Well, I have a summary here, and I'm tying together Zechariah chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. Now, I haven't taught on 10 yet, with Zechariah 13:1, and it's all pointing to Jesus Christ and how actually the first part of it is for now, for us as believers, about him dying for us and then shedding his blood for our sin. But in the future, the nation of Israel is going to be saved. Now, the nation of Israel, the people that are in it, but Israel is distinct from any other nation on earth. The Gentile nations, non-Jewish nations, I think are more just a broad array. I don't know how many separate nations there are. There could be. But Israel has a purpose for God in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And he's going to rule and reign directly over them. And then they are going to minister about him throughout all the world. So it's like what America in particular. Now, there have been other great nations for the Lord, but really since we've been a nation, this has been a very witnessing nation for the Lord. And in the early 1800s, we began to send missionaries out all over the world. And we've continued like that since. And what I see as America doing is what the call on Israel should be. It's in Isaiah. I don't know the verse, but the Lord told the Jews in Isaiah, you are to be my witnesses. They were to be the witnesses to the pagans around them, to the one true and living God. Now they failed, and unfortunately they got seduced by the pagans and ended up in all sorts of trouble with God and dispersed into all the nations. Now we're at the end of prophecy where Israel is a nation again. And that promise about God using Israel will come to pass in the millennial reign or the kingdom age of Jesus Christ. So I can't emphasize Zechariah chapter 3, 8 and 9 in particular, but also 10, how I think it's power-packed like Isaiah 53. So in Zechariah 3, 8 and 9, the prophet identifies my servant. That's a title of the Messiah, God's righteous servant. And he's called the branch, and that's the branch of David, the Messiah. There's a stone with seven eyes. The seven eyes mean God knows and sees all. The stone is engraved in. There's a deep engraving. It's not on the surface. This is deep. And it results in iniquity removed in one day. And then we come to Zechariah chapter 13, verse 1. And it says, a fountain opened for sin and uncleanness. Now, it's very interesting there where it says a fountain opened. The word, the Hebrew word for opened is the same Hebrew word for engraved. In verse 9, the stone that's engraved, the stone that's got seven eyes, which means it's a living stone. That's Jesus Christ is known. There's a theme throughout the scriptures. He's a stone. And in Daniel chapter 2 in particular, he's a stone engraved without hands. That means man has nothing to do with him. He's not under or connected with man as far as the kingdom age, you know. So that is very important there to see power packed, folks. Like I say, I put these Zechariah chapter 3, I put that right up there with Isaiah 53 for really tying things together so clearly in Isaiah 53. Because I don't know any other scriptures where you've got the servant, the branch, the stone, the seven eyes being engraved, that deep, deep cutting into the rock, and then removing iniquity in one day. That's all in two verses, folks. Incredible. And then Zechariah 13, verse 1, talks about in that day, that's the day of the Lord when Jesus Christ returns. There's going to be a fountain open for sin and uncleanness for the nation of Israel because they are being restored back to God as his people. So in Zechariah 3, 8 and 9, also in Zechariah 12, 10, they're going to look upon him whom they pierced. That's Isaiah 53. And at that same time, a fountain is going to be opened for sin and uncleanness. And then Zechariah 3, 8, 9 talks about the stone being engraved deeply and iniquity will be removed in one day. So this all blends together. It's amazing. It's utterly amazing, the detail and these Isaiah 53 and Zechariah 3, 8, 9, and I'm going to show you 10 in a couple minutes, how 10 ties in. So I didn't get to finish, if I remember correctly, about these seven eyes. Now, before that, I'm going to have to rely on someone else here now. Sister Kathy, do you remember, I'll try everyone. Do you remember where I ended last week by any chance? All right. Sister Sharon, do you remember where I ended last week?
I know that you had brought up the seven eyes and that you were going to go through that. But I remember you had like the whole list of different things about God.
Yeah,
you
okay.
You were going through that.
So I did cover him being the chief cornerstone?
Yeah, yes.
Okay. All right. So let's pick up with seven eyes. Now, the verse goes in Zechariah 3:9. Well, I'll tell you what. Hold on. Now, what I'm covering here in Zechariah chapter 3, verses 8, 9, and we'll get to 10. There's a lot of information. I mean, there is a lot tied in. All the information about God's servant, the branch of David, about him being the rock. So is there anyone, I'll start with Paula Jean, are there any questions that you have about all this tying together in Zechariah chapter 3?
Not at the moment.
Okay. Thank you. Sister Kathy, are you there by any chance?
I'm just not sure either.
Okay. Well, I'll ask again later because, you know, they're separate. The God's servant, his branch, but they're separate, but they're all one the same, you know. They're separate, like titles, we'll say, for the Lord Jesus Christ. So they all reflect him, but it's different avenues of him. So that's what I just want to see. If anybody here is confused, Sister Sharon?
Nope.
Okay. Well, as I go on, you know, you feel free. You feel free to, I'll stop again because we want everybody to have this tied together because it's so important, so powerful. Gigi and Randy?
I just think, you know, we understood it before, but I can't tell you exactly where we stopped.
No. I mean, do you have any questions about Zechariah 3, 8, 9 and about?
No.
No, okay. That's good.
No, that's clear.
All right. And then Sister Rita?
No, Chaplain, I don't have any questions.
Okay. All right. Now I've got an open field in front of me here. The seven eyes, Zechariah 3:9. And behold, the stone that I have laid before Jairus, upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the engraving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts, and I'll remove the iniquity of the land in one day. Now, there's only three places in scriptures that mention seven eyes like this. And the other one, by the way, is in Zechariah 4, the next chapter, verse 10. And it has to do about the building of the temple. And God's focusing, like his seven eyes, on Zerubbabel building that temple. So there is seven eyes. Now, seven is perfection, complete perfection. So the only other place it appears is in Revelation 5, 6. And behold, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and in the midst of the, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it has been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, and the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Now, the word seven is complete. So having seven horns. Now, horns in the Bible, in this particular structure of a verse, means power. It's like the horns of a bull. The horns represent power. And then there's thrones, and they represent power, too. So seven horns, that means complete power. And seven eyes. Now, of course, the Lord doesn't have seven eyes in Revelation 5, 6, nor in Zechariah 3, 9. That means complete, seeing all, knowing all. That's what that means. So the Lord has complete power, complete knowledge, seeing everything, understanding everything, and the seven spirits of God sent forth into the earth. And that means he has the complete and total power of the Holy Spirit. Because that's what that, the sevens there all mean completeness. So he has complete power. He has complete knowledge. He knows all. He sees all. And he has the fullness, the complete fullness of the Holy Spirit. And I don't particularly know why the Lord uses seven, other than that's his way of expressing seven horns. If you look at the scriptures, that those horns represent power. So that means complete power. The eyes, all seeing, you know, knowing all, seeing all, complete, total, and then seven spirits. There's only one Holy Spirit, but that's representing the fullness of the Holy Spirit. So he's got the complete, it's total. So here in Revelation 3:9, it's telling us the supernatural, the stone is not a rock stone that we think of as rock. This stone represents the person of Jesus Christ, who last week I went through all the uses of the word stone to represent him. And we can see that because it has seven eyes. This, and then that directly connected to him, we see in Revelation 5, 6. So Zechariah has a lot of symbolism in it, and along, it's just loaded, but everything in Zechariah 3 there is focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God's servant, and we know that that's found in Isaiah 42, 49, 50, 52, 13, 52:12 through 53:13, he's the suffering servant, my servant. He's the suffering servant. We know he's coming through David, actually through Jesse. He's the root of Jesse, the branch of David, and he's God's anointed. God's Messiah is coming as a direct descendant of David, and that's Jesus Christ. So, and then you got the stone, you got the seven eyes, and then the ministry there about being cut like that, that ties in with Isaiah 53. So that is such a rich, rich, rich section of scripture. Zechariah chapter 3, and then how it nicely slides in with Zechariah 13:1 and Isaiah 53. It's amazing how much scripture ties in with Zechariah chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. It's amazing. All right, let me get to the next one if I can. All right, these are some more scriptures about not seven eyes, but the eyes of the Lord. Proverbs 15:3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Well, that would tie directly back to the seven eyes there. 2 Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. I like that. He's with us. All right, now the summary. And I want to read this again in order and bring verse 10 in. Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at, For behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. And for behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the engraving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of the land in one day. How is that happening? Through the engraving, the deep, deep cutting of the stone. That's removing the iniquity of the land in one day. So the cutting of that stone represents death. And in the human sense, being cut like that is going to cause a tremendous blood loss. Now, Zechariah 3:10. In that day is the coming of the Lord, saith the Lord. We know when we go to Zechariah chapter 12, it's in that day, in that day. We go to chapter 14, in that day, in that day. Chapter 13 begins with, in that day, I will, bring forth a foundation, a fountain opened for sin and uncleanness. So Zechariah 3:10 is part of that. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall ye call every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree. So and that's the end of the chapter. Zechariah 3:10 is directly connected to 9 and 8 that preceded it. And notice in particularly in 9 about the carving, the engraving of the stone, and I will remove the iniquity of the land in one day. So when the Lord returns, it's in that day, Zechariah 12, 13, and 14. The death of the Lord here in chapter 3, verse 9, Israel sees it because they're going to look upon him whom they pierced. And the Lord has already removed the iniquity of us individually through his death on the cross. And what's going to happen is when he returns, the death on the cross, which we see in chapter 3, verse 9, his death and also his shed blood, is like they're waiting for Israel. It's waiting all these years, these 2,000 years. They have rejected the Lord and his shed blood and his death on the cross, him being engraved there, and the fact that sin has been removed. He paid the price for it. So the millennial realm, the millennial reign, the kingdom age is waiting for Israel, and that will be applied to them. What they missed 2,000 years ago will be applied at the second coming of Jesus Christ. Because that expression there, ye shall call every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree. Let's take a look at the prophet Micah chapter 4. So I just read 3 to you, but let's read it again. Zechariah 3:10. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, ye shall call every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree. Micah 4, verse 1. In the last days shall come to pass that the mountain of the Lord, of the house of the Lord, shall be established in the top of the mountain. Now there's a lot more being said in verse 1, 2, and 3. But we come to verse 4, which is a continuation that of the last days in Micah 4:1. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it. Micah 4:1 through 4 and 5 is all about the millennial reign of the Lord. And that's what Zechariah 3:10 is. And Zechariah 3:10, 8 and 9 there tells us why there can be such peace and why people can be at ease with God, I'll say, one with God. And that's because the Lord, the stone was cut deeply, and a fountain was opened for sin and uncleanness that's applied to the nation of Israel at Christ's second coming. That's why they can sit under each man's vine and under the fig tree. That's an expression of relaxation, peace, comfort, and that'll take place during the kingdom age. We call it the millennial reign, the kingdom age of Jesus Christ, because Zechariah 3:10 and Zechariah 4:4 is the same event. So what the Lord does in Zechariah 3:8 and 9 allows them in the future, it allows Israel in the future to be at peace during the millennial reign, because the only way they can, their sin has to be dealt with. So God is going to apply, just like today, when we come to Christ, what he did on the cross 2,000 years ago was applied to our sin. But in this particular case, everything now is focusing on the nation of Israel. The nation of God is going to keep Israel as a nation during the kingdom age. Now, with that, Paula Jean, did you understand that or any questions or comments?
Yes.
Good.
That was very easy to understand.
Good. Good. I'm so happy, because verse 10, I've been taught before. I ignored it. And I'm looking at it. What am I ignoring this for? It's about the millennial reign. This should be right up front.
And scripture confirming scripture. I love when you do that.
Good. Good. Sister Kathy, if anybody's watching out there, if you have questions, please call in 717-409-5553 and share your questions or comments. Sister Kathy.
I did have a question, Chaplain. I did not write it down, and it is gone. It was right toward the first of, when you said avenues, can you tell what you mean by that? Because I'm wondering, is that the same as saying different facets when you turn a diamond ring? Okay, good.
Yeah.
I thought that was probably
See, because it's all about Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But there's one facet, which probably is a better word. There's one facet where he is the servant of God. That's mm-hmm. the suffering servant dying on the cross. And then there's another facet where he is the branch of David. And I remember showing you that in Revelation 5:5 and a Revelation 22, where he's actually talks, the scripture talks about him being the branch of David. And then we know without a doubt he's referred to a rock. You know, a rock is something that's immovable and it's strong and all.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that he's the rock there in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that was following the encampment of the Jews. And Moses struck the rock and the water came out. That's his first death. I mean, that's literally, that's not like sort of guessing, we'll say. That's literally what the scripture says, literally, that rock was Christ. And he was struck once, and he that believes in me, as the scriptures has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So that rock was living water coming out in the desert, and Christ was struck for us. And when we believe in him, rivers of living water flow us, the Holy Spirit, flow out of our innermost being. And then he had... Go ahead, Sister Kathy.
Isn't it amazing that that was an inextinguishable amount of water?
Yes.
It was ever flowing. It never would have stopped. That just is mind-boggling.
Sister Kathy, I've watched, I guess you call them documentaries. I believe without a doubt that the Exodus did not take place in the Sinai. They passed through the Sinai, but they were in today what we would call like northern Saudi Arabia, the land of Moses went there when he escaped from killing the Egyptians there, the land of, and his father-in-law there, he married a woman. I can't think of the name of the land. Well, anyways, that's where he was. And that's where they stayed there in the wilderness. Well, it wasn't exactly the wilderness. It's more a desert. But you could see where there was this big rock split. Now, the rock isn't like 10 feet tall. That rock, Sister Kathy, it might be 80 feet tall. It's huge. Wow. It's absolutely huge. And you could see where water came gushing out, and it went down to a valley because you could see the way all the rocks had been moved in line with the water. Mm. So the amount of water that came out when that rock was split was, I mean, huge, huge, huge numbers of gallons of water. So that's a picture of, and then the second time, Moses was just supposed to speak to the rock.
Yeah.
But he got angry because the rebellion of the children of Israel, and he struck it. And God did send the water, but for Moses it was disastrous because that rock, it says it right there in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, that rock was Christ, and he was only struck once for our sin.
So sad.
All right, now we have Sister Sharon.
Yes, Chaplain John. Yeah, I really like this so far. And then the conversation I had with Kathy about the rock and everything, that it's just excellent. And I'm glad that Kathy was able to remember her question.
Good, good. Okay, then Gigi. And Randy, any questions or comments?
No comments other than it's very easy to understand. And I, being able to hear this, like I've always said to you, walking through the scripture slowly and talking about it and being able to ask questions, it's very clear. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, you see, like with me, I lived with Zechariah 3, 8, 9, and 10. And it's complicated, though, because there's so many issues tying together with so many verses. So that's why, I have no problem with it, but I wanted to make sure everybody grasped it, because there's a lot coming from different angles.
It's very clear. Thank you so much.
Good. Good. And then we have Rita.
Chaplain. No, I have no questions. I'm learning a lot, and I'm enjoying the study.
Good.
And I'm doing good. So I'm doing good.
Thank you. Thank you. And then we have Sister Twizzle, all the ways out in Omaha. Yes, are you driving, Twizzle? Okay, she might be driving and listening. All right. God bless you. Thank you for being here. All right. Let's go back now and pick up with the summary. And I put the two scriptures together now because these are kind of like very, very important, tying 3:8-10 in with Zechariah 13:1. Zechariah 3:10, in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall ye call every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree. And that means that precedes where I will, I will remove iniquity, which will be off that land in one day, iniquity of that land in one day. So according to Zechariah 3:10, what has happened there in 8 and 9 means Israel is ready for the kingdom age, because that's what in that day, and they're going to be under the vine and fig tree because iniquity was removed in one day. Zechariah 13:1. In that day, now this is the coming of Jesus Christ and the initiation of the day of the Lord, there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and uncleanness. So the Bible's really clear. In Zechariah 3:10, the iniquity being removed from the land in one day is going to allow Israel to be in, to live in the kingdom, reign of the Lord. And that at his coming, there's going to be a fountain opened, for sin and for uncleanness. And that will, the sin that the people are in now when the Lord returns, they're sinners. That fountain is opened for sin and uncleanness, which is the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So they're coming under his death and they're coming under his shed blood. Isn't that nice when you put those scriptures together? So Israel has a future. As a nation, it has a future during the kingdom reign of Jesus Christ. All right. Now we're going to look at Zechariah chapter 13, 2 through 9. And you're going to see, well, the undergirding of this is in chapter 14, verse 9. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth in that day. All the earth. The Lord will be. There'll be no any other name of a false god. Only the Lord who is the true and living God. No Buddha. No Allah. No Krishna. And there's a whole load of names for pagan gods. It's all going to be cleaned out in only the Lord's name. So now let's take a look at chapter 13, verse 2. This verse has to do about cleansing Israel of idols, prophets would be false prophets, and unclean spirit. Now, before I get into the, well, let me read the verse and then we'll talk about it. And it shall come to pass in that day. Now that's the same day as the fountain opened for sin and uncleanness. Shall the Lord of hosts, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirits to pass out of the land. So notice, idols, unclean spirits. Now, when it says prophets, it obviously means false prophets. So, as I thought about this, because we know Israel is going to make a turn to the Lord, and I've only looked at that turn, and by that I mean they're going to rebuild the temple, there's going to be a sacrificial system, and in the middle of the sacrificial system, the oblation, which is non-blood, and the sacrifices, which entails blood, are going to cease. Right now, there's no way that that could happen, because Israel, there's a certain amount, a small amount of Orthodox Jews that want the temple built. I mean, they're adamant about it. There's others that would go along with it. I don't know how adamant they are, but I don't see, they're talking about building the temple, rebuilding it, but they're not talking about coming under the law of Moses. Because what good is, if you're a Jew and you think it's so important that you rebuild the temple, and actually it starts with the tabernacle in the wilderness. There was the tabernacle in the wilderness, then there was Solomon's temple. Then there's the temple that Haggai and Zerubbabel built. Herod only made it bigger. He touched it up, made it bigger. And that took 42 years. They all had sacrifice in it, all of them. So if the Jews are talking about building the third temple, they have to bring sacrifice to be part of it again, which is the law of Moses. So right now, they keep the law of Moses like a holiday. you know, the Passover, Yom Kippur. They're like holidays, but they're not, there's no lambs sacrificed. There's no goats during Yom Kippur at all. So they have to come back to the law of Moses. So I looked at it as like the whole nation was going to come back unto the law of Moses. But when I got into Zechariah 13 here, and I began to look at it, because it's in that day, that's the second coming of Jesus Christ. It shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that it will cut off the names of the idols. So alongside the coming under the law of Moses, there's going to be idols out of the land, and they should be no more remembered. And I also would cause the prophets and the unclean spirits to pass out of the land. So my understanding now is changed somewhat, because yes, Israel is going to come under the law of Moses. I think the majority of the Jews will, but there's going to be an element here in amongst the Jews that are playing with idols. They're making false prophets, and they're dealing with unclean spirits, demon possession. The Lord is going to cleanse the land, to pass out of the land. So today in Israel, I'm thinking about two things that stand out. And one is the Kabbalah. And what that is Jewish mysticism. I do not like to deal with the Kabbalah whatsoever. I only like to deal in generalities, because I believe it's extremely negative. It's got extreme negative power in it. It's like New Age. It's like Jewish New Age. But there's power in it, folks. Negative power. It's all about self, the Kabbalah. Like I said, it's Jewish mysticism. It's all self. So it's like idolatry. It's you're the person that's involved in the Kabbalah. They're like, it's like idol worship themselves. And they think that they're superior to the Bible. They get way advanced. Like the Bible is Bible 101. But when they get into the Kabbalah, they could head for a PhD now. Literally. All sorts of rabbis are involved in it. All sorts. They think that they're like advanced when they're in the Kabbalah. So they go beyond the Bible, and it's all for themselves. It's all to make them super spiritual, and they're in the devil's realm. They make idols out of themselves. So we're supposed to be focused on the Lord, and we're growing in Christ. They're growing in themselves under this mysticism. So it's all demonic. It's very sad, folks. Because they think they're spiritual when they get into the Kabbalah. Now, when I first went to Israel, let me show you this. This is the, when you see this picture, this is in a city in northern Israel called Sfat, TZ there, Sfat. And my first time I went to Israel, which was 1979, we went there, and I knew nothing about nothing. I mean, I didn't know anything about the Kabbalah and all sorts of stuff like that. So we had a very small tour group. There was only 12, but that doesn't matter. So I remember it was like yesterday. So the bus stopped, and they were explaining what this was, the Kabbalah, and this here synagogue was supposed to be ground zero for the Kabbalah. Now, I'm going to make some statements, and they're arguable, Now, I don't know if they're true or not. When I first went there, they said that this is where the Kabbalah started. And then I hear other things that it started some other place. And so, anyways, let's put it this way. This is where the Kabbalah apparently started in Israel, and it had a big, huge impact on Judaism. Now, that's the best to tell you. Because I don't want to tell you things that maybe aren't true. And I've done research on it for this show. And there's like discrepancy. But when I went there, they said that this is where the Kabbalah originated. The mysticism came together here. So I'm sitting in this synagogue, and I don't know why we were in it and whatever was going on. I don't remember, other than I got a bad feeling. I mean, really bad. And I got agitated. And I said, I can't sit in this place. And I got up and I left. I mean, I kind of was even somewhat having like a trouble breathing. So I went to the bus, and there was to sit in it, waiting for the people to come. And there was a woman sitting in the back. So, you know, on the tour, she was on the tour with us. So I looked at her and I said, I got to get out of that place. That place gives me the creeps. I don't want any part of it. She says, you and me too. I went there once and I'll never go in that place again. There's something really evil in there. And that's what I was feeling. That was powerfully negative evil in that synagogue there, which something happened. It like manifested there 700 AD, you know, 1300 years ago, whatever it was. So that's what it looks like, folks. And it's called the city of Svat. It's a little city there now. It's all stone, and it's north by, it's on northern part of the Galilee. And it remained like a Jewish city, somewhat like Jerusalem. All through the centuries, there was always a group of Jews in Svat, just like there were some times when there weren't Jews in Jerusalem, but the overwhelming amount of time they were in Jerusalem Jews. Well, they were also here in Svat. So I guarantee you, folks, based on the word of God, that there'll be no Jews going into the millennial reign with the Kabbalah, except it's purged out of them. And where it talks about the fountain opened for sin and iniquity, right there, it's coming out of them, folks. The Kabbalah is wicked. Wicked idolatry. And Israel, however many, mostly it's the ultra-Orthodox and rabbis that go for this Kabbalah. But if they're going into the millennial reign and they believe in Jesus, they're going to get cleansed of this one. That is not going into the, that is pure demonic idolatry. It's called the Kabbalah. Now, I also begin to think about what else is in Israel. And I thought about that Nova event in January 7th of 2023. So I went online and I looked for pictures. And what it turns out, this Nova is pretty complicated because it comes from Brazil. And it is pure demonic. I kind of knew it, but it's some group, and they call it the Tribe of Nova in Israel. They have titles. So in the United States, you belong to the tribe of, I guess, America, but they have what they call the Tribe of Noah, and they've got this tree of life there. And there is no tree of life outside of Jesus Christ. So this here is pure pagan idolatry, worshiping the earth. That's what they were doing on October 7th. Now, here, this is what it's called, the Rainforest Buddha. The rainforest is from the Amazon. Teco mysticism in Israel. Look at that. I mean, that's like Baal. It's like a picture of Baal, who means Buddha. This is exactly what got Israel in big trouble with the Lord when they went into the Babylonian captivity. Stuff just like this. It's right back now. It's coming right back to Israel. And it's the youth that are in it. And it, part of it is worshiping the earth, folks. Just like the pagans always do. So there's the techo mysticism in Israel with their Buddha. Now, there's the Buddha that was in place in, I'm trying to make sure that I got it all right because it was a little difficult. Things were mixed up, but I'm 95% sure this is the Buddha that was in place on October 3rd, 7th, 2023, right there. I mean, how much more pagan could it be, folks? It's pure paganism. I don't know what this is, but it was there on, they call it Nova Israel. It was there on October 7th. It's some sort of pagan idol. And this is October 7th, early in the morning, just before all the attacks started. Now, apparently, there's another one of these idols. The attack is on the way. It's not that clear, but the attack is like started. The people are getting a sense of something terrible. There's the idol right in front of them. They call it Nova. They call it the Nova Buddha. So this is all idolatry they were involved in there. This is just prior to the attack, but there's a woman there at the event, and everything is pagan. This is just prior to it on October 7th. She may have died. Now, look at that. This is in Israel, but I don't think it's on October 7th. But this is a pagan event that took place in Israel recently, at least since 2023. But look at it. This is sort of a little under the radar. But it's the youth that are going towards this. Paganism. All right, and then here's verse 3. And it shall come to pass that when any shall yet prophesy, then his father and his mother that begat him shall say to him, thou shalt not live, for thou speakest lies in the name of the Lord. And his father and his mother that begat him shall thrust him through when he prophesieth. So there are going to be some that are going to, no matter what, they're not going to stop their false. This is powerful, folks. I mean, Christ has come and they're going to prophesy against him. But apparently that's how deep this goes. I think it's only a fringe group, but they're full of demons and they're not going to give them up. So next week, I'm going to go a little bit more deeper into 3 through 9. But I covered everything for now. But I wanted you to know about the Kabbalah, how wicked it is. A significant amount of Israel's and the Orthodox Israelis, the Orthodox and the pastors, and maybe you call them synagogue leaders like that, are into the Kabbalah. And they think that they are really, really spiritual. The more deeper they get into the Kabbalah, the more it's idolatry, and they are superior spiritually over everybody else. All right. I'm going to tomorrow do a little bit more. I might finish it, and I'll have that 13 complete when I go to my Shalom. Now, back to the questions. And Paula Jean, any questions and comments, especially about the Kabbalah, the idolatry?
No, everything's fine about the Kabbalah. I think that, what was it? There was something that you were talking about, and, that word's not coming to me. But let's see. starts with a C. It's okay. When it comes to me, if it's important, I'll text you.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, Sister Sharon, anything, questions you have?
Yes. Just as you finished talking about the Kabbalah, and you had that one picture up there, I guess from the United States, because my computer went black. So,
oh, my.
You know, I'm like, okay, here we go. But it's very, very, very interesting. And I just can't wait to see more of this, the continuation. And hopefully everything will be working for tomorrow and tonight at my Shalom. And tomorrow morning, too, for prayer time.
Well, I spent quite a bit of time today hunting down those pictures.
Yeah, wow, that's really something else.
Yeah.
You know, you could just see that back, you know, when they talk about sacrificing and passing the children through it, you know, in the Old Testament, when they talk about all that.
Yes.
I mean, those pictures just take you right there.
It's like unbelievable to think that that big Buddha was sitting right there on the soil of Israel. How?
Right.
And they had no fear of the Lord whatsoever. None. They're doing exactly what their ancestors did. Exactly the same thing.
Yes. I mean, they put it where we could, in the Bible, we had to visualize it in our minds.
Yeah.
And these pictures brought it to life.
It certainly did.
Yes.
It certainly did. Yeah. Okay.
I missed out on the pictures, but when you were talking about the Kabbalah, I was also thinking about, is that where they also do the science of numbers?
Numerology. They also come together and they put curses on people.
Yeah. And so for the word I was looking for was occult. O-C-C-U-L-T.
Yeah.
Seems like it's pretty parallel.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. Thank you.
It is. But it's rampant. I mean, it's not like this thing right now with the youth, I would say, is like getting off the ground. But the Kabbalah is ingrained deeply in factions of the Orthodox. Like I said, a lot of the pastors are involved in the Kabbalah, and it all means that they are growing spiritually, like beyond the Bible.
To them, they think so.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's horrible what they're involved in.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Very similar to the,
Well, there's a lot of New Age. New Age in it.
Yeah, different forms of it. But I'm thinking about what's taking place over in the annals of the Catholic Church over there in Rome, where they have all this other mysticism type stuff going on. Or just, my words just aren't coming, so I'll have to let that one go too.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Bye
now. Sister Kathy's back. Hello, Sister Kathy.
Yes. Two things. The first one was the photo or the screenshot that you had the girl with the face tattoo on looking back.
Yes.
Didn't you want that to be 10/7/23?
Was there a date on it? Is there a date on it?
It was 10/7/25. So I didn't know if you were saying that was current because you said you didn't know for sure.
No. That one I think I knew. I got the wrong date on it.
Yeah, well, just I wanted you to go back and change it for tomorrow night. So that was that. But then there was, when this attack came, there was mega publicity about this being a pagan event.
Yes.
Horrid event. But then it kind of got waxed over, glossed over.
Well, here's the thing, Sister Kathy, that I saw a panoramic camera sweep of the event early in the morning, because they got up early and they were dancing and carrying on. And it was, and then I saw a Buddha. I saw a big Buddha, and then right over the Buddha, you could see the Hamas coming with those monoplanes, they call them. Yeah. And there was the driver, and there was a guy with an AK-47 shooting the people on the ground. They flew over the Buddha. So I wanted to look for that. Now, I didn't find that, but I found these other ones. I found the Buddha and some of these other, like, idolatry-looking things and all. So I wanted you to see what I wanted to see with my eye, my own eye, the Buddha. You know, and I wanted to see what else was there to show how pagan it was. So that, and this comes from Brazil. They speak Portuguese, this Nova group.
Right.
So there you got to see it. You got to see the, they call themselves the Nova tribe of Israel.
So all those Buddha statues were brought in from Brazil. They didn't originate.
I don't know. I don't know if they came from Brazil or not. I doubt it. I think they probably were built. No, who knows? They probably were built in Israel. I got that. Sneaking suspicion.
And that would be such a slap in God's face.
Oh my!
The whole thing was.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. And then Gigi and Randy?
Yes. Actually, I saw, years ago, we saw a documentary on Kabbalah. And then that Nova Festival, what that reminds me of is the golden calf.
Yeah.
That they were doing all kinds of evil things when they built the golden calf, bowing down to it.
Yeah.
And the Buddha thing, I can't remember if this was accurate or not, but you know, they have Burning Man.
Yes.
I think it's up in Nevada or something. It's somehow related to them doing this. It has to do with the kinds of worship activities, which I won't mention. But it's kind of related. So it's interesting. Yeah, I mean, you would think, I don't think all the Jews that are there have ever read the Torah. Maybe they don't know anything about it. It's not an excuse. I'm just saying maybe they don't know.
Yeah, a lot of the majority are secular, probably about 75% are secular. And they're going to be the ones that are open to this paganism. But what I wanted everybody to understand, because I had a misconception that not all Israel is going to turn and come under the law of Moses. Probably a significant portion of it is, because the temple's going to be built and they're going to be offering the sacrifices. So they're under the law of Moses. The law of Moses is functioning. But there's this element also. And they're going to run parallel to Christ's coming.
Yes. I mean, it's sad. You know, it's sad because 2/3 of them are headed for disaster.
And Gigi, it says 2/3 in the land.
Right.
You know, 2/3 in the land. So, all right. Well, I think I reached my objective there with everybody getting to see the pictures and learn about the Kabbalah and see where it actually started. Yes, Sister Kathy.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure that you knew Nana Debbie said thank you for the teaching. It was very clear, and she really enjoyed it.
Oh, good. Good. All right. Did you finish, Gigi?
Yes, I just wanted to say that the teaching was excellent. It makes it very clear.
I am so excited. Really, I have excitement in me, because I haven't really taught this in a long time, but when I tangled with the Jews, I knew the impact it was having on them. So here it's all together. You know, you got those three verses, which are, in my mind, they're equivalent to like Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 is so clear. And now you've got these verses. There's the, you know, the servant, the branch of David, the rock, which is Christ, the seven eyes, the all-seeing and all-knowing God. And he's ripped apart there with the engraving. And that's all leading up to iniquity being removed in one day from the land. I mean, what a picture that is.
Yes, I've never seen that before. That is, praise God, is right. Yeah.
And then you just go up to verse 13 or chapter 13, and there is the a fountain open, and that day there shall be a fountain open for sin and iniquity.
Yes,
ties together
really
perfectly with the carving, with the engraving. So, all right.
Oh, John?
Yes.
Are we almost done?
Teaching, yes.
Oh, okay, because before we go, I would like to pray for tomorrow night.
Oh, yes. Sure.
And you want me to do it now or later?
Oh, you can do it now. And then I've got Rita and Twizzle. So, yeah, sure, anybody can pray now. Yes, please.
Okay. Lord, first of all, we just want to thank you and praise you for your word. And your word is crafted in such a way that it tells us that when we seek your face and we seek your word, you're going to make it very clear to us. And you have these incredible patterns and just all these different kinds of ideas that you put together that are more than ideas, they're facts. And they're clues, and they run through like a weaving all through the scriptures, and putting them together is such a treasure, and it helps us to understand really how true your word is and how exact your word is. And so we thank you and we bless you, Lord, and we want to see you glorified. We lift your name on high. And we want to lift up John. Thank you so much for John. Bless him for spending all of this time that he has been doing and sharing it with us so that we can understand. And we bless him, Lord. And we're praying for tomorrow night that everything would go well. Everything would be in decency and in order, including the electricity and the internet and whatever else he needs. And that you would continue to anoint him. To search it out and teach it accurately. And we pray that the people would come, they would be blessed, they would be encouraged, and that they would be able to see this in a very clear way. And we thank you in advance. And please bring all the people there that are supposed to be there, Lord, to listen and bless them and bless John and watch over him. And I do want to continue to pray for his friend Keith and that you will heal this man speedily and it will not affect any part of his body permanently, especially his eyesight. Have mercy on him, Lord. And Randy and I were saying, what a blessing to have you, John, at the hospital with this man, because we knew there wouldn't be any shenanigans going on.
Oh.
So we thank you that he was there. And we thank you that they took care of him. And we're just praying for a quick recovery for this man. And so we bless John and we bless the pamphlets. And we're asking for an outpouring, Lord. And that he would even be able to use these scriptures at some point preaching overseas, not just here. And so we want to thank you and praise you, and we bless Bishop Reinhardt and his trip in the United States. Watch over him, Lord, and bless him. And we just want to thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. And then we have Rita. Hello, Rita.
Hello, Chaplain. What are we doing? Are we praying or, I mean, I don't know what we're doing.
Whatever you want. If you want to share something, fine. If you want to pray, go ahead.
Okay. I would like to share something. I would like to tell you how my Lord God, my Father, has taken care of me this past week.
Amen.
I have 2 acres of land, and my grass and weeds were getting pretty tall. And my my lawnmower, I have to get a new lawnmower, but a dear friend was mowing my place, but he wasn't able to get the he wasn't able to mow my place for a while. So my weeds just kept growing, and that was really bothering me because I had always kept my land mowed. Then last week, a neighbor down the road came to my house and offered to mow my place. And he and his wife went by my house on their way to town and saw how tall my weeds were. So without being asked, he offered his help. Then King and Gail came back again to mow my place for the winter. These two lovely people told me to call them when I needed something done. And this Art has gone home about 5 years now. My Lord God, my Father, has placed into my life people that has blessed me and taken care of me. And I also have to say that I did not pray to my Father about the weeds, but he still took care of me.
Amen.
And it was just a blessing. And I include this prayer group in how the Lord has blessed some very lovely and Christian people, because all these people that the Lord has introduced into my life that Art didn't know. He didn't know them. And anyway, so the people that the Lord God has placed into my life has helped me and blessed me immensely.
Okay. Because I remember you told us a testimony there about your knee and something.
Oh, yeah, my knee's getting better.
Good.
I baby it a lot, but it's it doesn't hurt me as bad as it was hurting. So he has blessed me that way, too.
Yeah. Okay. So, good. Well, thank you. Thank you for the nice testimony. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, well, we have a little less than a half hour left. So we have a choice of praying and music, or just praying, or just music. So
I'd like to give a testimony, too, before we take off with the music.
Yes, please. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, there was an urgent prayer that I put out for my brother and his situation. In less than 24 hours, God turned it around, and he cleared away the ability for my brother to be able to have the insurance work on the medication that is required between chemotherapy, infusions. And he also made a way for there to be an extension, a rescheduling of the infusion from today, because the lab people called and said they're not sure that they got all of the blood work done that was necessary before the infusion. And so the rescheduling got done, and now they'll know whether or not they, you know, have everything that they need. And my prayer is that the blood that they need is the test to make sure that there's a reason for the infusion, i.e., you know, evidence of cancer in his body. I'm praying that there's no evidence of any cancer left in his body when they go to take those blood tests. And that's just a little preference, not a big deal, but I mean, it's like, wouldn't it be wonderful? And I know that they have something that is able to test for that. I don't know if they totally rely on it or maybe just lessen the dose somewhat. But I just want as much mercy as possible, and yet the right dosage be given if it's needed, so that this is just one more week that he has for the fine-tuning to be done. And I thank God for doing everything that was necessary for that to be available. And so I praise the Lord. I mean, it was a major miracle to turn around the ability to not have every week to have to fork out $800 for the medication. And that was a big deal. And so, Father God, thank you so much. And of course, we're always looking to you to do that kind of miracle for Pastor Dolph and for the availability of brochures to be distributed as being requested, because we want so many people to be blessed by what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
So thank you for letting me share that and give him the glory.
Sure. Sure. Okay. Sister Kathy, you want to lead us in prayer?
And I'd love to request a song for you to be looking for, Ancient Words by Michael W. Smith. And there's the video that shows the white letters up there, the lyrics. So, Lord, did you need me to repeat that?
Ancient Words, Michael W. Smith.
Yeah, good. White letters, lyrics. So, Lord, we just thank you so much for all you've done, all you're doing, all you have planned for us. We thank you for that glorious praise report for Richard, because at 10 o'clock this morning, that wasn't the scenario. So we're just so rejoicing that you showed up and showed out. And Lord, that's how you roll. So thank you so much. Thank you for coming through for Keith as well. And thank you for Nancy and Chaplain John being on duty last night for one of your children. That is just beyond and above.
This is happening.
The call of duty. So we just thank you. I pray for all the people that are on our prayer list, all the names that we call out. And I just thank you for the teaching tonight. We just bless tomorrow at Words of Life. And we thank you for Tim and Ruth. And we just thank you for that opportunity Chaplain has. And we just give you glory, praise, and thanks. We do pray for the revival that will be breaking out in Houston and all over the world. And it's appropriate that there's a Charlie Kirk Institute there, and who knows but where it springs forth from there. So thank you, Spirit of the Living God. You do all things well, and you're holy in all your ways and perfect in all your works, and we worship and bless you and thank you for every good and perfect gift. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, now you wanted something. I've got the ancient words, but you wanted this particular one.
Yeah, it's going to have the lyrics up there on the screen, and they're in white words. If you don't see it, I mean, if it doesn't show up, obviously, that's fine.
I guess this is it. Getting it started.
Thank you.
have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words in
Well, I have to say, it was the first time I heard that.
Isn't it gorgeous?
Yeah, wow. When did you first hear that, Sister Kathy?
I think it's been a few years, but somehow it started ringing in my ears the other day, and I just tried to remember what it was, but I don't know when it was published, but I just absolutely love it.
Okay. Thank you. And then we have Sister Sharon. Yeah, Sharon, hello.
Yes. I just want to say, thank Kathy for that song. It was peaceful, relaxing, and just plain beautiful. I'm glad it rang in her ears a few days ago and she was able to remember it. Thank you.
You're welcome, Doc.
Okay, Sister Sharon.
Okay. How about if if you can find it again, the ladies with the tears song, I like that. And I'll do a quick prayer here. So, dear Father God, I just thank you so much for tonight. I thank you for Abba Father International. And I just want to pray that all goes well for Chaplain John tomorrow as he gets ready to preach and teach what he talked to us about tonight at My Shalom, Words of Life Church. And I know these people are going to be blessed by this. And I'm so excited to be able to, in a way, be a little part of it by listening and watching and hearing what the people have for questions or comments and stuff. It's just the whole situation is a blessing. And I want to pray for safety for Chaplain John as he's out traveling. And I just pray that he gets the extra rest he needs. And I just want to say thank you to him for getting that man to the hospital and staying with him. That was a wonderful act of kindness and of God being a man of God. And I just thank you for showing that, Chaplain John. Well, and I just want to pray that everything goes well tomorrow and every day that we got coming up with Bible studies and prayer and music. In your name, dear Father God, thank you. Amen.
Okay, I found the song. Here we go.
This world left on my soul will all be healed, and I'll be
All right, I think Rita is up. Sister Rita is here. Yes, Rita.
Yes, Chaplain. Do you want me to, did you want me to pray?
Well, that's fine. It's up to you. If you want to pray, that's fine.
Okay, I could pray for, I could pray. Father, I praise you, Lord God, for all that you have provided for me, Father, and how you have taken care of me over the years. I give you praise, Father. Father, I pray for America. I pray for the leaders of our country that you would bring them to repentance and that our country would turn away from her wicked ways and that you would forgive, heal, and have mercy on America, Father. Father, I ask for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit across America, in our college campuses, in all of our cities, Father. And I pray, Father, that these riots that's happening in our cities, that you will stop them. And that whoever is causing these riots, Father, that you would put a stumbling blocks in their way. Father, I pray for Israel, and I pray for the Jews in Israel, that they would turn to you and your Son as the Lord and God of their life. I pray that the Jews will see where their strength comes from, and that they will turn to your Son, Father. I pray that you would have mercy on Israel, Father. And I pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Israel, Father. Father, I pray for a hedge of protection around the IDF. And I pray that these young men and women will come to the saving knowledge of your Son, Father. And I pray that you would strengthen, guide and direct Netanyahu in all that he does for Israel. And Father, I pray for Chaplain John, that you would strengthen him, comfort him, and encourage him, and guide and direct him, Father. I pray that you would bless his family and bless his marriage and bless his finances. And Father, I ask that you will protect President Trump and put a hedge of protection around him, Father. And I give you thanks that you were merciful to America, Father, by allowing Trump to be our president. And Father, I also hold up Larry to you, that you put a hedge of protection around him when he goes out witnessing at those abortion clinics in York City and Lancaster, Father. And encourage Larry, Father, and give him the words to say to minister unto the women that goes down to these clinics, Father. And Father, I give you, Father, I pray for Keith, that you would heal him and help him, Father, go through the pain that he is suffering from the shingles. Strengthen him, comfort him, Father, and encourage him. And Father, I pray for everyone that is online tonight. I pray that you encourage us, comfort us, and encourage us, Father. For I pray this all in the name of my Lord, my Savior, my God, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Father, thank you for tonight. We thank you for your word. I'm in awe of Zechariah chapter 3, Lord, with those verses and how power-packed they are. It's so clear. It's like every title of your son is packed in those verses, and he's the one that was engraved for us, Lord. That engraving was the beating he took, Lord, and the side was pierced, the nails driven through. So we thank you, Lord, for your word. It's so rich, Lord. There's so many ways to prove, to show that Jesus is the Messiah in the Old Testament, Lord. There's so many ways. We thank you for that. So we pray everyone have a blessed night, Lord. We'll see you tomorrow morning for prayer. And then tomorrow evening I'll be teaching at Word of Life. So thank you, thank you, thank you now. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Remember, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. God bless you.
O God of burning, cleansing flame,
send the fire.
Your blood-bought gift